Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Real quickly, just I want to talk about Bodacious for a moment.
And Bodacious isn't even the fraudster. Welcome to Fraud Stories. Welcome to Fraudsters, the podcast that gives you the scams you love from the fraudsters we hate. I'm Sina Ghaznavi, and today we've got a special drop for you. Tomorrow will be our opener for season four, where we'll be covering George Santos, who reminds us of the proverb, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 1,248 times, shame on everyone." Today, we have a couple people sharing their fraud experiences. And then later in the show, we talk to renowned forensic accounting expert Kelly Richmond Pope about victims of fraud and where to spot red flags. She recently published Fool Me Once, where she does a great job of breaking down different types of fraudsters and talking about some incredible interviews she's done. And check out our YouTube page for portions of that interview that aren't going to be in this podcast. Our first story, though, hits close to home. Ariel and I sat with Lamont King. He's a comedian, and he was a victim of fraud. No, he didn't buy an NFT. He got scammed trying to save a few bucks, paying for his own travel to do road gigs. You ever hear of a buddy pass or a companion pass? Did you know that you could buy them from people that work at the airlines? You can't. Don't do it. Let's just go to the interview.
What a pleasure it is to be with you guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Y'all looking well. You're looking
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you. I got all these buddy passes. That's why I look so well.
I'm refreshed.
Oh, geez. That's triggering. Oh, that is triggering.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you got buddy pass scammed.
Yes. Which part of the story do you want to
well,
start?
Well, we're going to have to break it down.
Yeah, break it down.
First of all.
Okay.
Lamont, let me just tell the viewers, Lamont sent me a 18-page Word document that you could tell he was furious putting the stuff in here. There are screenshots, there are text messages, there are links to Twitter statuses, there's case numbers.
This man has been hurt, is what we got from this.
Yes. Yeah,
we want to talk about receipts. Yeah. Lamont King has receipts.
The first sentence in February of 2018, I made contact with an individual. I was like, okay, this man has gone to small claims court.
Well, I couldn't type gung gung from Law and Order. There was no. That's the only thing that was missing from the whole dossier.
It is a dossier. It's true.
Shit.
Before you got on, Ariel was saying like, how did you even get connected to this person? So take us to that moment.
Yeah, I need to know
when
how
you
met.
How did you meet? Did you swipe right on Tinder and that's how you got in touch with this person?
So Sina, the community of comedians is fairly tight.
Yeah.
Especially with people that are considered in your class or your era. You know, we kind of look out for each other, people you came up with, people you traveled with. So there's a guy out of Virginia Beach, the Hampton Roads area, named Bodacious. He tours with D.L. Hughley.
Okay.
Is one of you see D.L. I'm already Hughley's stressed. Main, do you see that I'm already trusted a man named ass. Bodacious?
Ariel. Bodacious. A great checking underground her comic.
It's okay. Yeah,
no, no, no.
Bodacious is a good man. True, okay.
OGs in the game. And so when the call comes, when you know those certain names when you see on the phone, oh, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? I'll take this call, and more than likely, whatever they have to say is legit. So I was in somewhere. I was out in a meeting or something somewhere, and the call is Bodacious, and his real name is James. So for the sake of your comfort, James calls.
No, I know him as Bodacious now. It's
yeah, he's Bodacious.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's up, Bo? He was like, yo, I just hit a lick. And I'm like, all right, talk to me, because a lick or a come up, that's in our world where we, cash up front for everything. And a lot of times our expenditures are on us. When somebody hits a lick and they're sharing it with you, you us all ears. So my antenna went up. I was like, talk to me. He said, hey, man, I just got companion passes. So I was like, oh, that's what's up. Tell me more about it. He said, well, a friend of mine called me, said they had this connect with American Airlines. And if you're looking for companion passes, so I went ahead and bought it. And I've traveled already. So I wanted to wait to see if it was all good before I shared it. Because she asked me if I knew anybody, she had two more. So when you say, this is two men of a certain age and similar backgrounds, you say you checked it out already, and it's good. For me, that's it. It's legitimate because I know buddy passes are not all the way above board anyway.
Right.
So if you come across someone that has access to them, it's kind of like, oh, that's a hookup. That's a hookup. Because they know, the 80s, 90s, early 2000s used to be called buddy passes. Now they're companion passes. Because people used to take advantage of the other programs. I did my research and all that. This is how much I got scarred. I had to go back and trace the history of companion passes. So what there used to be was for spouse only.
Yes, families.
Mm-hmm. Then spouse families. Then they evolved into domestic partner. Then they were just companion passes where attendant or flight attendant or whatever would have a certain amount to give to whoever. They just had to designate whoever that person was, and that person would then fly complimentary, but only on standby.
Real quickly, I want to talk about Bodacious for a moment. Now, how long have you known Mr. Bodacious?
Mm. Oh, 15 years. Easy.
And wow. Do you know him, or is he a comic? Like, he's a comedy friend. That's different.
Both.
He's come over for dinner.
Both.
He's come over. Yeah, he's come over. He's met your family. He's come over for dinner. We know this man.
We've met each other's families, but not at the house.
I see. So does he call you enough for you to be like, I'm gonna pick up the phone every time he calls? Or was this like kind of a random call?
Yes. Both, if that makes sense. He calls enough, but it was a random call.
A random call from a man named Bodacious that said, I just hit a lick. Do you see that already? I feel feelings about this. Okay. But if somebody calls me random, named Bodacious, and says, I just hit a lick and I want to get you in on it.
But it's not, but again, he's touring with D.L. Hughley.
Okay.
So that already puts him in a different kind of.
Okay. You're looking at him differently. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And even in hindsight, this would be a small kind of drop in the bucket for what he's probably making on tour with D.L. Hughley.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So
for a lot of us, traveling is air travel. So when you tell me I could get in on a companion pass, I was all in. So he told me he took two trips. So it was legit. He waited to see how legit it was before he shared. And I was like, well, that's courtesy. That's considerate. Now I'm two up on. So I was like, how much? And he was like, $1,200. And I was like, okay. So here's where it got interesting for me. I was currently on tour with, for the first time in my career, a named comedian. And I was traveling a lot. So I was traveling with Bruce for two years.
Oh, Bruce, that's great.
So he put me in contact with her, called her. We talk. I'm super skeptical on the phone, because I'm not that guy. But in my head,
of course,
I'm
you're
no
not
sucker.
That guy. You're not. You're no victim.
I'm not that guy. So I get in contact with her, right? And so we talking, blah, blah, blah. and I'm really vetting her. And then I took a couple days because I'm just that type of person. I don't trust nothing or nobody, paranoid. And the second day, you know, you had those conversations with people. And they're like, hey, man, sometimes you just gotta jump out there. You only live once. And I was like, all right. So I did it. And I was like, I have a flight coming up where I need to be and so and so, so and so. I went to the airport, standby. I boarded first, got on the trip, went, came back. I said, yo, I got to be in 2 weeks. I got to be same process. Da-da-da-da. I get the stuff in my email, went to the airport, went further for longer, came back, not a problem. So I took two trips, paid her Cash App.
I want to ask about how the booking works with her. You had to tell her every single time you were going to fly out and she would book it for you. Is that the case?
Well, that's what she was doing.
Oh.
But it was just, you just send the, where you're going and when you want to be there ahead, and she would forward it because you're on a companion
pass. I see. I mean, she's got to book it for you. You can't book it yourself.
She was a gate agent. Allegedly.
So then every time you were going to go anywhere, you would have had to hit her up regardless.
And saving a couple bucks wasn't just financially beneficial for Lamont. It also meant that he could signal to the management team of the headliner that he was touring with that they didn't need to worry about flying him out. He's got it covered. All of a sudden, Lamont was that much more bookable, but it wasn't without its red flags.
Red flags should have been.
The Cash App application is an app.
Well, the Cash App wasn't her.
Oh, well, the Cash App in general, I think we should be suspect of.
Well, again, I'm already doing something that's below board.
Right. Sure.
So I didn't have a problem with that per se. Cash App was, you know, is what you did is, you know, so I took the two flights. She hits me. Do you have anybody? I got one more. Do you have anybody that could, you know, da 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 da? So I'm like, okay, it's still not pyramid schemes, Ponzi. Still not clicking. So I brought my sister on. My sister's number was 1500.
Wow. No.
Sister went to the Caribbean 10 days. Came back, no issue. She was like, oh, da da da.
And she flew standby to go to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And she went, beautiful vacation, came back, no issues.
Yep.
Incredible.
No issues.
This is how they get you.
Got on the plane. And that trip could have been worth half that. So you're one in to get your money back.
Though it would seem like everything was going fine, but let's take a quick break. And when we come back, the issues started to mount and Lamont misses a critical gig.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's going to be great.
On tour with Bruce. I was going to do this. Bruce for 2 years was talking about, I'm going to get you to the Stardome in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. When I get you to the Stardome, you're just going to, you know, the Stardome is legendary. When I get you to the Stardome, when I get to every city we went, man, wait till you do the Stardome. Wait till you do the Stardome. Stardome comes around. After 2 years on, he's got me to open with him. There was some complication, but I had just got the pass. And I said, yo, tell your management, I'll meet y'all there.
Oh, no.
That week,
not the Stardome.
That was my third trip. It was going to be my third trip. Did not work. So this third trip to Huntsville, Alabama, to the Stardome, big comedy opportunity, and it completely fell through. Management had already not booked the flight. And then I couldn't get a flight. So I had to cancel. Man, I'm trying to get to one-way rental. I was going to drive 19 hours. The whole thing fell apart. Now, here's where it gets, you know, this was horrible. The story is sad for me. That was the last time I toured with Bruce.
Oh, no. Because they felt like you flaked on them?
Well, I don't know.
We'll never know.
It was never explained. We'll never know. But that was the last time.
What, did you reach back out and be like, what's going on?
Yeah, I was like, yo, it was, you know, I fell through, I got scammed, da 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 da. You know, all right, well, we'll be in touch. It was like that, and this is 4-5 years later.
I
hate this story.
I credit that as the source.
I understand why you stalked this person for 2 months now. This makes sense.
This would be so crushing.
And so and so even for the 1200, I did the math and I was like, you know, four flights
pays for itself.
I'm
good. Okay.
So
yeah,
it pays for
itself. So she come to find out through conversation, my sister put her coworker on.
Oh Jesus,
God, no.
Coworker, 1500.
No.
Right. So, but then the reason why it came back to me is because the coworker had issues. So the coworker never flew.
Whoa.
So the coworker's, tell your brother, get your brother. And I'm like, hey, I don't know. Then it just, came louder.
Let me talk to Bodacious.
Yeah.
So she, my sister tries to fly again, no dice.
So what happens? What does no dice mean?
It's just there are a lot of complications. And so the young lady's name is Angel L. Shields. So Angel L. Shields from American Airlines. We're trying to track Angel down, right? So she's not responding to the coworker. Then she stops responding to my sister. Then she stops responding to me. So now that's three households just trying to track her down. And, we on Facebook, we on social media, we in the pages, and then her pages is changing, and then we all getting blocked from social media. So then I'm like, oh, red flag. So, you know, this ain't good. So now we calling from block numbers. We start 67, and then we creating emails, mock emails to get at her, and we on other people's Facebook pages. And now We doing the real, you know, my mom is in real estate, so there's a thing called skip tracing.
Yeah.
I mean, we skip tracing through the friends list. We called the pastor.
Wow.
So tell me, can you explain skip tracing for the audience?
Just taking basic information and working backwards to find someone. Mm-hmm. And so we were going through we bird dogging the you know, Google Earth and addresses. We looking up case numbers with the last name, and then we're finding everything. And while we're trying to track her down, we're finding, you know, domestic violence cases, theft, what do you call it? Fraud and wire fraud and bank fraud. And like, she had like 25 cases in like 10 years.
Wow.
Her name was in court continuously. So we was like, oh, this is a problem. I'm not going to get my money back. So we still looking, right? We get the pastor on there. We get the stepmother. I'm in everybody's emails. I'm in everybody's emails. I mean, I'm on Facebook. People are shutting their Facebook pages down because we're for lack of a better term, harassing. I don't know nothing about that. You got to talk to her. So I traced the number I sent the money to. Turns out to have been her fiance, Fred Patterson, right? So I Google him, and he's a guy. He's a guy in St. Louis. He's a musician. He's on tour with Dietrich Haddon.
What?
He's a gospel music, right?
Gospel.
So I go. Oh yeah.
He's a man of God.
Apparently. So he professes. So he doth protestes. professes. So I hit Dietrich Haddon on social media as a gospel artist, and I'm like, yo, you got a snake in your band, and you know, da, da, da. Snake in your band. And he's like, hey, thanks for letting us know. We had an issue with him last year. He no longer travels with us. And I was like, oh, okay, here's a recurring thing. So then I called. They promote parties in St. Louis. So I'm calling the numbers on the bottom of flyers that I found on the internet. And, you know, and it's a venue. And the venue is like, oh, yeah, they'll be here next week. I'm like, yeah, get your money up front because they stealing. You know, I called the church to talk to the pastor. I said, you got some sinners in your congregation.
No, you did not. You did not call the church.
I love this.
So we bombarding all the available information trying to get her to respond, right? So I finally find this one number. I don't know. I can't remember how, but it was Google Voice and it was Fred's number. So Fred answers. So I'm like, hey, my man, I'm like, I know what y'all on, know where y'all at. Y'all got to run that back or it's going to be real uncomfortable. Y'all got to run that back. I don't know what you're talking about. Da, da, da. I said, my man, you can't. I don't know what you're talking about because I paid you.
Yeah.
Whatever y'all got going on. I was like, nah, it ain't that. So they was getting married. Right. So they had the wedding stuff all over social media. I was like, it's you and her now, buddy. Y'all just got married because this over the course of like 2 months. I was like, y'all just got married. It's you too.
At this point, how much money do they have that people got nothing for, basically? Like, you took two flights on that $1,200, so it kind of almost paid for itself. Your sister took a flight, 15. And then her friend took zero flights.
That's three, four, just under 5,000 that we know of.
Yeah. Right. And so I was just trying to get mine and my sister's back. I was trying to get, I was 27. I kept saying 27. I need that 27. So she, you know, duck and dodge. Then one time a new page pops up with a different name and we found her on Facebook. So we all bombarded her inbox. Then everything just went dark. So I got a friend that worked, you know, for the FBI. And I was like, at my wit's end, I was like, what can I do legally? I said, because that's where I want to stay because it could have went left. So it was like, well, I called the police. They like, so I had to either go to St. Louis and file locally or get somebody in the phone and process through the court with a witness who lived there locally. I did all that. So I got the police report, got the FBI report. So I said, you know what? Let me go to Black Twitter.
Yes. That's where you should have gone first.
I'm tripping.
Hello? Do your thing, Twitter.
I didn't think about it. So, yeah. So that's how I started it. That's how I started the sentence. I said, Twitter, I got a story to tell. Bring some weed. Do your thing. So we had pictures. I did a whole, my girl was walking me through it because I wasn't real savvy with that. And I did the whole thread with each post had a different picture. So it was like a little story.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah.
Yeah. And when I tell you, I have never gone viral. That went viral. Yep. Why about 50 people inbox me saying they had gotten scammed by her?
Wow.
Do quick maths. $1,500 times 50, $75,000, if that.
People are hitting me. I'm talking like I have legit, you know, business friendships now from those people. He had a cigar business and he goes and sources his product in Nicaragua. He got stranded in Nicaragua one time. there was a publicist to an A-list celebrity who hit me and was like, yeah, we got me, my friends, rock band people. It was, I'm like, it was
oh my
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And like the post 2 years later, 3 years later, still people would hit me. Yo, I know them. They got me too. I had a friend of mine who was an American flight attendant and on the West Coast. She was like, yeah, I know Angel. Yeah, she don't work with us no more. She was stationed in D.C. I ran to National Airport. Man, ran to the counter, paperwork, pictures, all this. And I was like, this person, they said they work here. Da, da, da. Manager came in the
sir,
back.
Do you have any luggage?
Yeah, no, I ain't got no damn luggage. I got things to say.
Oh, they weren't, man, they weren't trying to hear nothing. Then the manager came. She gave, here's the number to call. I said, nah, I called all those numbers. Da, 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 da. So she go back. And I'm furious, and she's giving me no love. So she walks away, and then this one, two people down. She's like, sir? I came down, and she said, I know Angel.
Oh, no.
She said, yeah, they fired her last year for, she gave me the whole story, for,
doing this.
You know, cooking the books, yeah, doing the thing. And I said, yo. I said, you think you could still, you know? She said, I talked to her from time to time, so I got her number, whatever, and I was trying to coax her into, you know, being a mole for me, trying to reach her. That never panned out. But during the course of me, you know, filing the police report in St. Louis, filing the FBI, the local FBI fraud investigation, and I traced the numbers back from the flight itinerary from American Airlines to the point of purchase. And what I found out was there's a third party booker. She was just booking flights with your money.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She wasn't even doing anything internally at American Airlines. Yeah.
She wasn't even using a buddy pass.
No. She was taking the previous money that she got from the last person, paying for yours. You go bring somebody else to her. She take your money, pay for theirs. So yeah, it looked like,
legit.
You know, the trips are coming. She was just booking. So I'm talking to the lady on the third party. I can't remember which site it was. And I was like, I said, I got an open investigation. I just got a few questions. You know, sweet talk to her. She said, well, let me pull it up because it does seem strange. She said, oh, this is her on the phone. Oh, my God. She had like 30 pages of bookings under the same credit card.
Oh, my God.
I said, can you send me, you know, some type of visual of that? So she sent that. I sent that, included that with the FBI.
Yo, when the person on the phone says, 30. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like like when you're at the doctor and you're like, what do you think about this doctor? They're like, oh, my God. Never a good sign. Never a good sign.
So she gave me the address attached to the credit card number. So we Google Earth the, you know.
Let's
the,
go.
Little downtown lofts where they lived at, seen the front door. And guess what? I'm telling you, I'm in the wrong line of work. So on the front door, it was now leasing. you could be home now. I'm talking about the visual, you know, the Google Earth
street,
360
street
degree.
View. Yeah.
Street view, yeah. And so it was like, you could be home now. Call this number. Man, we zoom in. So we piecing the numbers together, doing the combinations, whatever, because it's hazy. We finally get the front desk. And I'm like, say, man, is Angel Fred around?
Oh, you did your best Beverly Hills Cop impression.
Hey, man. Hey, this Fred cousin, man. I'm just trying to. Nah, I got a package for them. Man, we went through the whole thing. And I got this close. They were like, nah, they're not here right now. I said, what time are you expecting them? And he was like, wait a minute. Nah, I can't tell you all that.
But they live there.
I was like, but they still. Yeah, I was like, they still lived there.
Wait a minute.
Like, yeah, I can't. Not allowed to give out that information. Man, if I tell you, there were several times that I had reasons to drive to St. Louis. I knew some people in St. Louis that had got scammed, and they were in the industry. And that matter of fact, one young lady, she's the one that told me to file the police report because she did, and she won a judgment in court the year before, but she never paid. So I was like, nah, I just want to expose them.
Yeah.
And so we were like, you know, us, my girl, my sister, her friends. We were like, hey, man, we got family in St. Louis. Take a road trip and go, you know, touristing in St. Louis. And then the pandemic. And that's where the story slowed to a halt.
Well, listen, so, everyone out there at Fraudsters LPN, if you've been scammed by this similar scam,
you could start a class action.
Angel Shields.
Angel.
No, that's what That's what I would wish to happen. Angel L. Shields, which is now Angel Shields Patterson, Fred Lamont Patterson. He's a musician. She's a con artist. They got married. They still live in St. Louis. They've switched up all their pages 2, 3, 4, and 5 times. A lot of people know them.
How does it feel talking about it now? How do you feel several years later now that it happened?
This is cathartic because I've never actually told the full story publicly and used their names.
I could see, we could feel the energy from you coming off, even over Zoom here. We could feel it.
And so
we really appreciate you sharing it with us. Now we have one little bonus for you. Lamont was an actual victim. Of course, we know that. But this show was almost a victim as well. I know. Specifically, our intern, Robert Resigliano. He was targeted by, I don't know how to say this, one of you. One of you did this because this person had to have listened to our episode, heard who our intern was at the time, email him, and pose as, ready, me. They posed as me. Again, not trying to sell an NFT, but Justin and I hopped on with Robert to see what happened. I mean, I'm so offended and also flattered.
Robert, welcome to the show. Justin and I are here with you to talk to you about this. And so tell me what happened. You got a text message from me?
From my work email, I got an email from someone who claimed to be you. It was something along the lines of, Robert, please send me your number. And then it was, you know, your signature was at the end. So I was like, I was like, okay. So I sent my phone number right away and I got it right in front of me. It says, Robert, I need to know if you are available at the moment. I need you to run a quick task, but let me know if you got my text. And I was like,
okay. What was do you remember the email address? Did it look fishy or you just were just responding very quickly?
So I didn't look. I was responding really quickly. I didn't look at the actual email address until I realized that I was getting scammed, and the email address was definitely fishy. But like when I first saw the email, I just assumed it was you, so I didn't look into it. So, you know, after I got this text, I was like, I said, I just got out of the MPRE and I'm on my way back home. What do you need?
What a great intern. Come on, folks. Let's bring them up here. Let's pull up the images. We have them. Okay. All caps, subject line, my name. Perfect. Quick from quick response. Okay. Kindly reconfirm your cell number and wait for my text. Best regards. Okay. You give this person, the scammer, your number. Okay. Go to the next. What's the next thing? This is first text message then.
After I responded, they said, Robert, I am going into a meeting and I need you to help handling purchasing some cards for corporate giving programs at any nearest store. I will send you a list of what's needed, okay?
Okay, Robert. Okay, break me down here. What is corporate?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know what corporate giving program means. I was like, okay, that's a little weird, but, you know, I'll do what he needs. You know, I could pick someone up. It's not a big deal.
He needs cards for the corporate giving program.
He needs cards, right? So yeah, then I respond.
The man needs cards. Let's not push back. Let's not ask questions.
Right. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, let me know. And right away, this person pretending to be you says, I want you to purchase 3 eBay cards, $200 times 3. I will reimburse you immediately. I'm done with my program. How soon can you get this done?
What is my program?
We often give out eBay cards on the podcast.
You're charitable.
Listen, fraudsterslpn@gmail.com. Email us. Justin and I will both send you signed eBay gift cards.
Charitable guys, you know? I was like, okay, you know, I've never heard of giving away eBay cards, but you know, I'm with it. That's fine. So I respond, and I'm like, I'm going to be home in about an hour. I could do it then. And then you respond and say, you can locate any store on your way going home and grab them. My program will start in few. I'm like, okay, this is a scam. This is totally a scam. So
you can.
So that's when you felt it.
I mean, I felt it kind of the whole time. That was that text right there was kind of the breaking point. I got to send this to Cena, make sure it's not, you know, make sure it's not him. So I sent it and right away you responded and you're like, buddy, that's a scam. I'm like, yeah.
And this is when you responded, of course, do you want my social security number now while we're at it?
Yeah. And to their credit, he said no. And then, you know, tried to follow up saying, what store close by? You know, they could at least, you know, if they're going to scam me, they could at least try to use proper, you know, English, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Dead giveaway there with the awful English.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't respond for a few minutes. And he said, text received? ? So I looked up the, it's a 937 area code here. So I Googled the area code and it came to Dayton, Ohio. And I'm like, yeah, that's, Cena's not from Ohio from what I know. So I was like, all right, I'll have some more fun with this guy. So I said, 937 area code. Wow, Cena, I didn't know you were from Ohio. How interesting.
Let's try to call this person.
The driver you have dialed is not in service.
Oh.
If you feel you've received this message in error, please hang up and try your call again.
Big shout out to any of the criminals that actually listen to the show, by the way.
Yeah, hey, we love you guys. Thanks for the listen, criminals. We appreciate it. Hey, we see you, we hear you, and text received.
Text received, yeah.
Robert, what did this make you feel like when it happened?
I wasn't close to, you know, actually falling for it, but you know, it's definitely something that people got to be aware of, you know, for sure.
Well, Robert, that was probably, was that the peak of your legal internship here at Fraudsters?
Yeah, that was definitely
how exciting.
That's definitely one of the more memorable experiences. That should be like an initiation program, you know, for all the interns here, you know.
We should try to scam more interns. We're going to scam our new one that just started. So I'm really excited about it. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for your service. Thank you for not buying eBay cards.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
She completely pulled the wool over her town's eyes.
Do you think you were just smarter than everybody else, Rita?
$53 plus million is just unbelievable.
She lived quite a life, totally different life than what she portrayed here.
By day, she's wearing municipal clothes, and by night, she's dripping with jewels and furs.
World champion, Rita Grundwell.
She had this grand, high-stakes horse empire.
My first thought was, Dixon has that much money? That you could embezzle that much money from a little tiny place like this?
People just trusted her so well, more than anything.
Rita, how did you go to bed and not think, whose lives I'm infecting here?
One of the things the FBI wanted to find out was, did she do this alone? Was she hiding from somebody else?
For 20 years, I worked side by side with this woman, and I never knew her. I never really knew her.
Kelly Richmond Pope sat down with Justin and I and talked to us about how we view victims, red flags that we can all catch, and the state of fraud madness today.
You know, this particular episode, we're really focusing on stories from victims. And so stories from people. And I love that in your book, you kind of were like, I studied these fraudsters for so long, but I didn't really get enough of like what victims were going through. And that's one of the things that we realize with this show as well, is that we kind of fetishize the fraudsters. All the cool movies and TV shows are about the fraudsters and no one wants to really hear about it. And I've talked about my own times being scammed and the audience has been pretty tough on me.
Oh, sure. we think victims are stupid. We all do.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's pretty funny. And sure, you know, some decision making could have been better on my part as well. But we always talk about this show, talking about fraudsters in the sense of, have you been taken advantage of financially when you were in a vulnerable situation? So what are the types of common ways where people can find themselves in a vulnerable situation where they are susceptible to fraud?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I think when we find ourselves in situations where we don't have any control to test out the red flags that we might be curious about. So for example, you think about in my victims chapter, I talk about innocent bystanders and organizational targets. So I talk about it, that some people don't even know what hit them. In my documentary, the victims of Dixon, Illinois, the victims of the Rita Cronwell fraud in Dixon, Illinois, there were red flags that they knew, they saw, but they couldn't really do much about it. So Rita Cronwell owned over 400 horses, which seems odd for a person that works for the government that makes $80,000 a year. So it would seem odd that someone would own that many horses. Okay. The rumors, people questioned it. They were like, gosh, this seems like this person has a lot of horses. And the rumor was she received dividends from stocks that she owned. Both of those things you can't verify.
Mm.
And so that's the tough part about being a victim, is we often find ourselves in situations where we see a red flag. Let's just call it a pink flag, because we can't check it, you know. And it's even worse when there are situations where we can't check it at all. So you think about the people on an airplane. You just hope that your pilot has gone through all the safety protocols that have to happen because you have no way of checking. I'm a board a plane tomorrow. I'm going to board that plane and I'm going to assume that Boeing has done all the appropriate checks that it needs to go through. I'm going to assume that everybody on the assembly line did everything they were supposed to do, but there's no way that I can even check to see if they did or didn't. Victims. So we're hard on victims, though. And you have to ask yourself why, because a lot of times victims don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And so there's a lot of situations that we find ourselves in just like that.
You know, my brother's a plastic surgeon. I've said this story on the show before, but he called me one day and he's like, I think I screwed up. And my brother's, you know, these surgeons, they're very smart people. But he got a robocall from AT&T, who is our cell phone provider. And they said, it was a robo call from AT&T, and they said, please type in your social security number. We need to access your account. This poor guy is just this man who was in school for 15 years, who has ripped cancer out of people, who has done microsurgeries and rebuilt people's faces, put in his social security number on a random robo call.
He was busy.
He was And that's like, how do we recognize that moment? Because it just happened in a split second.
You know, that's when you have to follow your gut, because there was
that little voice,
that voice. Because yeah. There was something about when that call happened to him, there was something that made him say, oh, this isn't right. But I don't have time to figure it out right now. And yeah. So had he taken that time, that maybe 3 extra minutes, he probably wouldn't have done it. But that's scary.
Scary. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty. Now I kind of every 18 to 24 months, he gets some sort of weird charge.
I bet. I bet all of his information is on the dark web for sale for $2.99.
Exactly. You also included some red flags as part of the addendum in your book, which I was like, oh, cool. This must be like some real appendix academic type stuff here. It was like, no, wait a minute. She's got bits on red flag triggers on your PDF here.
Listen,
this is incredible.
They are real. Like as funny as you might think they are, just think about them. Okay. Let's go through a few of them.
Okay. Number one, Justin and I will agree with this one. Never trust anyone who doesn't like dogs.
Come on. Yeah. Of course.
That's like a good chunk of the internet that's going to be that you can't trust.
Cat lovers can also love dogs.
But, sure, of course.
But if you hate a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red flag.
Shout out to the Fraudsters Pet channel on our Discord. We have a whole channel where people post dog and cat pictures and pet pictures. It's fantastic.
Very nice. Yeah.
Here's another one that I can really agree with. Never trust anyone with a Hotmail account.
Come on.
Right.
Who has Hotmail anymore?
Me. But there's a reason why I have it. Anytime I think something is fraudulent, I put Hotmail into it.
Okay.
I don't put my real email. Like, yeah, it's like a burner email.
So then you agree with the red flag then. That's your.
Yeah, it's definitely a flag.
Yeah.
Well, I'm flagging them. You shouldn't flag
me. But you're using it as a way to stop fraud. You think it's safer for you because you don't believe it's real. So you're going to use Hotmail.
Yes.
Okay.
Love this one. Never, ever trust someone who doesn't like Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. Don't ever 100. Say that. Don't ever in public say that you don't like Beyonce. Don't oh, my goodness. That. Don't ever say that.
She's not offensive to anyone. I mean,
some people might think she's not the greatest singer. Some people might think she's not as artistically gifted as others. Some people don't ever say it, though.
Okay, I want to do two more. Never trust anyone who doesn't have a streaming account. So if they're just like getting passwords from everybody, that's already.
Or they don't stream at all. So like, what are you? There's no more Blockbuster. So like, what are you doing? What are you watching?
I go to Redbox at a. At my county
gas station. Your laptop doesn't even have a DVD player anymore. So how are you watching Redbox?
And this one, this last one for all the comedians that are on this show and that are listening, never trust people who talk about themselves incessantly.
Or even the third person. Like, you know, like Kelly said, like, aren't you sitting right
that's
here?
That's a huge flag. Yeah. That's a huge flag. These flags you can test. These are testable flags or things that you should be aware of.
I wanted them to be casual so that people could realize that we just excuse away a lot of things and allow them to enter our lives. And we don't always either have control set up or pay attention to the red flags that are just right there. So I wanted them to be fun. I wanted people to say, yeah, that is right. Like, a person that doesn't like dogs, I'm probably a little bit weary of them. Or a person that can't say thank you, they're probably somebody I don't want to work with in the future. I should be weary of them.
Someone that says you're welcome on email, that's a slight flag for me. If I say thank you, do you follow up with a you're welcome email?
No.
Come on.
No.
That's too many. I said thank you. Let's keep it moving. You've been a victim of fraud as well in your classroom. Of all places.
Cheating.
You talked about, this is crazy. And Justin, as a professor, was on the academic integrity board at his job. And so I heard all kinds of stuff. These students that are going, I have a child, I have another one on the way. We got to teach them how to not to cheat. What happened? How did they cheat? And how did you feel when you heard that this happened in your fraud class?
Well, what was interesting to me was I always thought that I had created an environment where students would feel comfortable talking to me, sharing if something happened. And
I walk out of the room for 4 minutes. I come back. Everybody's working on their tests. When they all turn in their tests, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to go back to my office. I'm going to grade. Well, a student then sends me a text message and says, you know, Professor Pope, I got to tell you something. When you walked out of the room, there was a student that stood up and said, hey, I got letter A for number 15 and letter C for number 16. What did you get? Now, they know they're not supposed to do this. We got an honor code. You're not supposed to do this. You're definitely not supposed to do this. And so I was like stunned, annoyed, angry, because now I have to deal with this. So what bothered me was only one student said something to me about it. I should have had 39 other students saying something to me about it. So yeah. I sent out an email and I said, okay, hypothetically speaking, if I told you that there was a camera recording your actions when I left the room, what should I know about you before I look at the video? Hypothetically speaking, of course.
Wow.
And in comes the messages. I didn't say anything. I was minding my business. I didn't say anything. I didn't speak up. I didn't stand up. And I'm like, oh, so you did see something. So I'm thinking that everybody should have said something. So, you know, it was shocking to me that only one person came forward, and it showed me, A, I don't have any internal controls clearly in my classroom. I need to get that camera, and I can never leave the classroom for any reason, because they're going to cheat if I do. I'm joking. They don't do that anymore. But that's what happened. And I was surprised. Yeah. And then I said, do they know I do fraud research? Like, why would somebody do this in my class? Like, I'm the wrong person for you to do it in my class. I will find you and figure it out. And I did.
And he did. And it's like part of your book. You got paid on it too. So it's like, you won at the end of the day.
Yes, I won.
Well, with all this crypto and all this technology, my last question really is, it's like, it seems like we're almost in a golden age of fraud. Would you say so?
You know, we're at an interesting age of fraud. And I think what I've witnessed and what I'm intrigued by is the schemes have pretty much stayed the same, but the profiles of those that are engaging in the schemes have changed. So now you're seeing more professional people, more entrepreneurs, more lawyers, more accountants, doctors, nurses engaging in schemes. I mean, just think about a lot of people that engage in the PPP loan fraud during the pandemic were professional people. You know, yeah. I'm doing this study right now where I'm interviewing people that engage in insurance fraud. And there's this one person that I interviewed that she would recruit homeowners to stage losses in their home so that they can increase the amount that insurance would pay them. But it was all fraudulent. Like, so she would say, let me come to your house. Let me figure out how to stage a leak in your kitchen. We're going to break a couple pipes. We're going to break some tile so that your insurance claim will be higher. Okay. Then I'm going to find a plumber that will do this, that will break all of these things and help you with your insurance claim. The people there were about 100 fraudulent claims that were submitted. First-time offenders. These are not career criminals. These are people that were lieutenants in the police force, you know, professional people, teachers, real estate agents, doctors, lawyers. In my years of studying fraud profiles, I've never seen the increase of the everyday fraudster that I'm seeing now, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to make the book really accessible and readable, and so that people could be a little bit more self-reflective when they read it.
Wow, that makes so much sense. I was thinking, because it feels like the velocity of fraud has increased, but that's probably because it's been almost democratized.
Well, and so many absolutely.
New people are.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like when you think about police brutality, you know, has it increased or is it just reported more because we can film it? You know, so I think the evolution of people sharing the content or sharing what they're witnessing is has increased. And so I love what you just said, that fraud has become democratized. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Kelly. And you could watch her doc at allthequeenshorsesfilm.com. You can find that and a link to her book in this episode's description.
Our last fraud story comes from Aaron and Jason Sines. Aaron is the co-host of the Dumbbells podcast on HeadGum. You can find her on Instagram at Aaron McGowan. And Jason is a comedian and writer whose work you can find on Netflix, Comedy Central, and even, yes, Fox News. Follow him on Instagram at Jason C. Sines. They told us their very personal experiences with scammers. And then I'm going to do a sync clap with you both. So if you guys want to clap with me, one of you could clap with me.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. Great. Look at that.
Nailed it.
Why did you hit Jason? Why did you hit him?
Someone has to.
Yeah, we have couples counseling right after this podcast.
It's always scheduled for right after a podcast, so.
That's the time to do it. Jason and Aaron Sines, welcome to Fraudsters to talking. Oh, you're frozen.
God,
oh,
how are we frozen right away?
Already. Already. Oh, there you go. You're back now. You're
okay,
back.
All right. Okay. Okay.
All right. We won't touch it again.
Okay. Perfect. I'm not. That's going to be the intro. Okay. I'm not even going to do it again.
Good sailing.
You guys have some fraud stories to tell us. I'm sad and excited to hear them. Aaron, I remember.
Yeah.
Briefly hearing about yours. Jason, you were texting me about them last night.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first? Do you want to flip a coin and give us some context and what happened?
Well, I'm going to go first.
Yeah, well, Aaron's story, it happened to her, so she has more details. She'll have the juicier story, I think.
But it does lead into when it happened to Jason.
It happened to my mother.
Mom, I knew
the next year, yeah.
Because of what I had been through, what was happening. And I was like, no! Okay, we'll set us.
Okay, well, set Justin and I up here, and then we'll shepherd everyone through this traumatic
journey. Yeah. Okay, so Jason and I have to preface this, I feel like, because it explains a little bit of the mental state I was in when this phone call came in. And I think that I'd like to believe this wouldn't have actually happened to me had this experience not like been looming over my head, which was
absolutely
that Jason and I went through a huge traumatic experience together on our third date. We fell through a skylight together.
Mm-hmm. And I became paralyzed and I was in the hospital during this time. Still,
yes,
right?
He was in the hospital. We were, the scam happened to me in February. This accident happened in December. So we were like 3 months out, and I had just gotten home from the gym. I was gonna go to work, so I was like running home to do a few things, and I get this phone call. I answer it, and it was a guy telling me some crazy story about how my car, I had my name had been on a car that had been rented in Texas, and there was a crime committed in this car, and my DNA or some crazy thing like it was in there. So this guy was calling to let me know he was going to help me get to the bottom of it, because he was sure it wasn't my fault, but he was going to help me. And like, I didn't want to have anything bad happening because I was starting a lawsuit, and I didn't want, I just remember thinking like, this is the worst case scenario for my life. I can't have this happen. And this sounds crazy, but like, if he would have said Pennsylvania, I would have been like, I drove through there once 30 years ago, but I have family in Texas. I just had this like thing of like, when did I go there? Has it been like, what have I done? Like what, like I knew I hadn't been recently, but I also was like, there's a world I have been to Texas in the last year. And so that got me too. Basically, I started crying. I was like I was crying every day at this point. So this is not unusual. But I started crying. He tells me to calm down. He told me to calm down so many times.
What a nice man.
It was so nice.
Calm down. Jeez, I'm here to help you.
I'm here to scare. I mean, help you.
God. So he tells me the way to help me. This is where it just gets embarrassing. It's just like, he's like, the way I'm going to help you is like, somebody has taken your identity. That's, we can tell you that. if you haven't been to Texas and you haven't committed a crime, does you seem like a nice person, then you, someone has taken your identity and I will help you get it back. The way to do that is to go get all of your money out of your bank account, because that's the first thing they're going to come for. And you're going to need to close your bank account and we'll get you a new bank account. But in the meantime, we need to you to put all of your money into, oh God, into gift cards.
Sorry. No. Justin, why are you laughing?
Wait, how? All of your money into gift cards.
Yeah.
Everything you got in the bank, that's in gift cards.
Because that's the safest place for your money right now, is where the guys can't get it in Google Play gift cards. So, and I couldn't hang up. That was another part of this, was I wasn't allowed to hang up the phone. That was like, if something about that, and God, I just wish I would have hung up the phone, because anyone would have told me, Aaron, this is a scam. So I go to the bank. He won't let me get off the phone at the bank. I just have to stay on the phone. I have him on speakerphone and he directs me to not tell the bank what's going on.
Wow. Wow.
Again, I hear this and I'm just like,
my chest is tightening up. Yeah.
He had a gun to your head through your phone.
Yeah. Yes. That's how it felt. I just remember feeling so sweaty. I was so sweaty. I just crying, constantly crying this whole time.
Oh, so sorry.
So I close my bank account. I get all the money I have out, which I'm just going to say it, 'cause it wasn't that much, but to me it was the most money I had ever had in my savings account, which was $5,000. I get out $5,000. I get it. I have it in cash. This man directs me, because I can't do all of that at one grocery store. So then I start going to grocery stores and buying gift cards with this cash. And I can't remember how many grocery stores I went to, probably five, because I think I could only do like $1,000. This makes me just want to die. I go through all of this. I get all the gift cards. Then he has me read scratch off the little pin and read him all the numbers.
Oh my God.
And while I'm doing this, I am crying. And I just kept saying, I don't understand how this is helping. Like, I don't understand. I was like, you're going to give me this money back? And he was like, yes, of course. Why would we keep this? Like, we're trying to help you. And I was just like, what?
Why
I just kept being, and it was like Z is in zebra, T like,
oh, wow.
What's T like Thomas? Like, I was like, I could not stop crying.
Oh, so sorry.
So then this is when it, like, I don't remember if I think he directed me to go to the Social Security Administration building. And I had gotten there because I think he was like, you need to change your Social Security number or something, which, to be honest, I don't even know if you could do.
I don't. Is that even a thing?
I don't know. I remember I was sitting in the parking lot and he said, we're going to need, in order for us to close this case today, we're going to need $1,000 more. Is there anyone, you know, that you could get $1,000 from? And I was like, no, I have my family is not rich. I just live in LA and all my friends are trying to make it themselves. No one has extra money. And so he finally was like, you need to call your parents. Like, you need to get more money. And so he finally let me hang up to call my parents. And when I called my mom, I'll never forget, she said, it was like the sweetest voice. She was like, oh, Aaron, you're being scammed. And it was the first time that I like really started, like everything kind of started to like replay what I had just done. And that was Oh my God. I just like lost it. And then I went inside the Social Security Administration building and I was like on the phone with my mom. I was like, tell me this is not a scam. This is what this guy did. And it was just like the security guard. He was like, you've been scammed. Here's what you do next. And I sent one of the ways he got me to believe it was his story was like this email. He like sent me an email with like, hey, this is the police report of your car and all the charges. And so I responded to that email with you're a piece of shit. And I found that email and I forgot that he had given me his name was Chris Paul. And I don't know why. I was like, that's the funniest, like, I should have known it was a scam. This guy's name is Chris Paul. So that's...
Did he play for the Rockets?
Yeah, I should have followed it up with that.
I feel really bad, you know, because you were at a vulnerable moment and that's like the last, you know, that's like, this was the, you know, it was the perfect person, time for that person to strike. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think they somehow found out about you in some way?
I mean, I definitely had put it on social media. I hadn't really thought about that, but that is maybe a tool that people like that can use. I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but.
Did he know your name immediately? Did he call you Aaron McGowan?
Actually, I kind of think he did.
Dark, probably.
Yeah, I wonder.
Dark web.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they just did some digging on that, because it seems tough to be like a law of numbers where they're just doing it all the time. I know that's one of the ways they do it, but
yeah,
feels like they must have done some digging. I'm so sorry. I remember when you told me that the last time. I think it was like 2 years ago now you told me that. And I was like, I felt this. I think my reaction is the same, as in like my chest is tight.
I know.
Feel awful. I know our fans are reaching out and giving you a virtual hug. So I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Well, what's funny is like I know what your podcast is. I have talked to you about this. And then even like 20 minutes before this, I was like, oh God, I have to say it again. Oh God. Like, it's like it's still very,
it's real.
Like chest tight. Yeah. Like it is. And like my best friend, Melissa, had a similar phone call and it was after my experience. And she told them, she had him on the phone for like an hour. I'm not kidding. She wanted to waste their time.
Right.
And she kept leading. And she was like, and at the end, she was like, this guy, when she said, hey, I know you're a fucking scam artist, never call here again. And the guy like went off on, like said some of the darkest shit you ever heard when she told me. I was like, oh my gosh. But I was like, hey, you wasted an hour of this idiot's life and didn't get scammed. I love that. You saved someone else. So have fun with them, everybody. Yeah. Just don't give them your savings account.
Wow. If it makes you feel any better, there was a guy who used to mess around with 419 scammers. He would say, I can send you the numbers, but I need to make sure it's really you. Please put a raw fish on your head and send me the photo. and he'd make the scammers take all these ridiculous. He's like, please wear German lederhosen in the middle of a field of daisies, and then I can get you this money. And he just put all the photos on a website of like,
I love that.
That's incredible. I love that.
I love that. Yes. I mean, this story, I've heard it, Aaron's told me before, but not the full version. And it just infuriates me.
Yeah.
It infuriates me because, one, I love Aaron and I hate that she was taken advantage of it, of such a magnitude, but also that these people exist.
Yeah.
That they have no problem and no conscience about literally lying and taking people's money who are vulnerable. Most of them are old and, you know, they got lucky catching Aaron on a fucking bad day. And it just makes me sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or having a crying woman in a bank on the phone and not even having the moment of being like, you know what? Never mind. Like,
yeah. You know what? Never mind.
It's okay. We'll get him to drop the charges. Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll
it's
figure just, it out. Don't worry.
Yeah, you seem pretty upset.
Yeah. Spend the gift cards. Hey, what was it?
You could keep it. You could buy a bunch of MP3s or something like that. Google Play gift card.
Buy some movies on YouTube on us.
God.
Because that's more sociopathic to keep you on the phone and like have your to experience your suffering in real time.
Yeah.
It's different than like click this link. Like the click your link guy, at least he's depersonalizing himself a little bit.
He's detached.
But to keep you on the phone is like, that's like, that person's actually probably a murderer as well.
Jason, what's your fraud story? You have one.
My fraud story happened around the same time. After my accident and my paralysis, I was living in Hollywood, and my mother was staying with me. And you know, nothing's better than being freshly injured in a wheelchair with your mom hanging around all the time.
Yeah.
But we were getting along as best as we could. And towards the end of that, that first year after rehab, when I was back on the streets, we had decided to go to a specialty rehab center in Jacksonville, Florida. It was Brooks Rehab Center, and they had an amazing technology. It was like an exoskeleton. It was like robot legs that would be strapped onto my legs, and with little wires, they would feel the fate impulses of me trying to walk, which would make the robot legs walk. And so it was a really cool rehab technique that really tried to like connect to whatever faint nerve responses I still had in my lower body. And it was great, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So
that's not the scam.
That's not the scam. No,
thank God, because I was like, that would be are we going?
Yeah, it was fake. It was the robot legs are made out of tinfoil
with an exoskeleton. Holy shit! This took a turn. Okay, thank God. So that was just background.
No, that's just background. God, that's sweating. Just where I was going, and I loved going there. And I had to end my rehab short because COVID-19 hit.
Yeah.
Oh,
and when Jacksonville, Florida shuts down for COVID, you know, the rest of the country has been shut down for about 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
When we got back to LA, no cars were on the street. It was like a ghost town. And we're like, what the hell has happened? Anyways, we wanted to get tickets. Me and my mother were going to go to Jacksonville. So she was looking for tickets online. She told me that she searched on the internet for Delta's customer service book tickets hotline. On the internet, I don't know if she was using Google or Yahoo or Ask Jeeves. I don't know how she found this number.
Yeah.
But she found a number on the internet that said, you know, buy your Delta tickets here. She called, and basically they told her that their machines or equipment wasn't working properly, and they could only take payment through gift cards.
Oh my God, stop.
Yeah.
So I remember my mom going, something's going on weird with their computers. I have to pay them through gift cards. I'm going to go across the street to CVS. I'm like, hold on, mom.
The brakes.
So
yeah.
So
she told me that. I didn't say hold on, but in my mind, I was like, something's fishy.
Yeah.
So I told Aaron that my mom is getting gift cards to pay Delta.
So I was coming over.
Oh, God.
And when I got to Jason's apartment, his mom was out getting gift cards. Like, she had already done the gift card exchange to Delta. Like,
to fake Delta.
To fake. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. This is a fake Delta?
real Delta's also a piece of shit, but fake Delta, they knew what they were doing immediately.
So she came back in, and I was like, gift cards, no. And she was like, no, I just paid for them. We should be getting our confirmation any minute. There was no.
We never got that confirmation email. And about a couple, like an hour later, it sunk in. She goes,
yeah,
started to call the number back. Couldn't call the number back. And then she starts crying.
Yeah.
And she realizes she got scammed. You know, it's a similar story because, you know, like it was for tickets to a rehab center to take me. And it was still freshly after my paralysis. And I know my mother wasn't thinking completely clearly and reasonably at that point. So I think just how quickly she was able to do it and get scammed. Like, she went right across the street to a CVS, bought the gift card, called them up, gave it to them. And before she got back, she had lost that money.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they didn't tell her to go to the Social Security office and change her name and everything else. But she lost the money for the plane tickets. And it was probably almost $1,000, if not over.
Yeah. She was so sad. And I was like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, I empathize. I've been there, and nothing, I don't know. I mean, maybe something feels worse, but it just feels so stupid. You feel so stupid. Mm-hmm.
What a cruel, sad, but silver lining bonding moment with mother-in-law.
Yeah. We both got scammed.
You guys should get each other gift cards for the rest of your life.
Happy Mother's Day.
It is her birthday tomorrow. Yeah, her
birthday. Get her a gift card. I don't know. Yeah. Will the joke hit? It's always tough with the jokes like that.
Yeah, it's a little edgy.
Do you think, given the circumstances that you were in, would you have done things differently?
I had never heard of these gift card scams until it happened to my mom. And then, and Aaron told me, I think Aaron didn't tell me immediately what happened to her because it was pretty embarrassing, but I never heard of these gift card scams before. So I don't know if I would have, like I said, when my mom told me she was going across the street to get them, it didn't ping to me as red flag scam. It was just very fishy.
Well, and the thing I do differently now is, there is not an emergency. There is never an emergency. If someone is a stranger that is calling me on the phone, I'm not in a rush. If you think there's a rush, you deal with it. Even when I changed my last name when we got married, I had a lot of issue with even doing any of that kind of thing, but I just took it really slow and I like made sure I felt like I could trust what I was doing. Because I think that is what got me, was I was like, oh, I have to fix this right now. I did not need to do that.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this bonus episode of Fraudsters. We'd love to read about how much you laughed and cringed at this episode. So please leave us a review as I read the remaining credits. Tomorrow, our first episode of season 4 about Anthony DeVolder. No, George DeVolder. No, George Santos drops. Do not miss it. This season, we'll talk about the Fugees, Rob Blagojevich, and even Milli Vanilli. Do you even know who Milli Vanilli is? There's going to be a lot of other fraudsters as well. Make sure to also follow us so you can listen. Check out our show notes to see the links for our guests and keep the conversation going on Twitter and Instagram at FraudstersLPN. Fraudsters is hosted by me, Sina Gaznavi, Justin Williams, and Ariel Lieti. Producer is Jordan Acancia. Production coordinator is Nori Malik. Editor is Ryan Connor. Our writer is Nick Turner. Music by Grant Gordon. Executive producer is me, Sina Gazami. This has been a production of Zero Cool and The Last Podcast Network.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com.
Paramount Plus, Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.